You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. Joining me in the studio is Martin Maikut. He's the director of the Rogue Valley Symphony. He's also director of the Oregon Coast Music Festival, the longest-running festival on the Oregon coast. On December 19th, director Martin and the Rogue Valley Symphony will feature a special performance of A Judy Garland Christmas at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival in Ashland. Welcome to the Exchange, Martin.
Hi, Mike. Thank you. Good morning to everyone.
Well, tell me about this upcoming performance.
Well, it's every year we try to come up with a new concept. We have established this fruitful collaboration with the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, so we're allowed to use the Angus Bomer Theater, which comes with some great advantages, such as phenomenal lighting, you know. And so we put up shows that are quite different from our regular Masterworks concerts, which are, concentrating. That's kind of an immersive listening experience. Here, it's a show that has all these extra elements, and we try to surprise our audience every year with a new take on what the symphony could do. Last year, we had the gospel choir here all the way from Florida. And this year, we're bringing a singer, John Ellison, who has this unique access to arrangements that were made for Judy Garland for her show that was wildly popular in 1960s. And so, and we're doing this show unlike anywhere else. We really tailored it to the season, so it's all holiday appropriate music and Christmas music. And I'll just say one more information. Do come on the 19th at 7:30, but we also do the show two more times on Saturday, the 20th at 1:30 p.m. and Sunday at 1:30 p.m. at also at Angus Bomer Theater. Yeah.
Okay.
So you have three opportunities to hear it: Friday night, Saturday afternoon, Sunday afternoon.
So remind our audience about who Judy Garland was.
Oh, Judy Garland. It's a great question because if you're above the age of 60, I don't think I have to tell you she was a famous movie star who also had fantastic singing chops and recorded a lot of albums and was very popular also as a singer. And it was a kind of a very colorful figure too. For the younger audience, now that you know this, why should you care? This music was written by some spectacularly gifted arrangers, and they make the music sound like I just can't approximate it to anything today. It's so gorgeously written. The orchestrations are just magnificent. So that's the reason to come even if you don't know Judy Garland. And I would say one more reason is if you like to get into a holiday mood, you know, we play all the favorites, you know, Let It Snow, White Christmas, which I understand we actually in Rogue Valley we may get, or, you know, Santa Coming to Town, all of those. But they're all in original arrangements that you don't normally hear. It's not what you hear in your grocery store aisle. You know, these are, again, arrangements that go back to Judy Garland show. Very, very unique and gorgeous arrangements that I'm so happy that we helped to preserve this way.
Well, Joan Ellison is a very special talent. Tell me more about her.
So she made it her mission. Joan is a soprano, and she made it her mission to preserve this wonderful piece of history. And so a lot of this music was written, and very quickly. You know, the show was about to be aired, and so it's in a shorthand. So she put a ton of work into it, recreating these arrangements to be really as close to original as possible. So we're so appreciative of her, and she doesn't try to sing as Judy Garland. She has her own take on it, but she does kind of look like her, and she even wear dresses that are very that evoke the era and evoke what Judy Garland would wear. There will be several. She brings several gorgeous dresses, and so there's with several changes. So again, it's gonna be a show. You know, it's gonna be gorgeous music, gorgeous singing. You will learn about Judy Garland, who she was, from Joan. And then you have all that beautiful lighting as well and a great venue.
Well, we have an audio clip. Let's take a listen.
Throw your sins away in the tide. It's all so peaceful on the other side. other side. Shout hallelujah, come on, get happy. You better chase all your cares away. Shout hallelujah, come on, get happy. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready for the judgment day.
Okay, if that doesn't make you want to get up and dance, I don't know what will.
You know, this is so much fun for us to play. Our regular fare, the classical music, is very heavily string-based. And so often the brass players or the woodwind players are, I mean, they're important, but they play, then they rest, they play the rest. This is like a big band music with strings. And actually, joining the Rogue Valley Symphony is also a jazz combo. So we're going to have a drum set, we're going to have a guitar, we're going to have an amplified bass guitar. So it's kind of a crossover, and it's really fun for our musicians to just play this kind of music as well.
My guest is Martin Maikut. He's the director of the Rogue Valley Symphony. And on December 19th, Director Martin and the Rogue Valley Symphony will feature a special performance of A Judy Garland Christmas at OSF. So how can people learn more about this performance?
I encourage you to go to rvsymphony.org. Like you said, the performance is on the 19th, this Friday, at 7:30 p.m. We still have some tickets left for Saturday the 20th at 1:30 and Sunday the 21st at 1:30, but those are selling out fast. So usually these, whenever we perform at Angus Bowmer with the Rogue Valley Symphony, those shows are really, really well attended, and they're very popular, but there's still some tickets left. So come out, and then you'll leave with a big smile on your face.
I believe so. Let's listen to one more piece from the performance.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay.
So tell me this, why do people love Christmas music?
Oh, there is a huge element of nostalgia. You know, we all have certain traditions, certain rituals, and for a lot of us, Christmas is sort of like a time capsule, right? It takes us back to our childhood, and it's something that we don't want to see change, even when, you know, you grow up and then you have your own family, and you try to kind of preserve that magical moment, sort of timeless moment, and this music is so heavily associated with the holiday. It just brings out all the good feels in us, and I love that the world is always changing around us, but I also love having this anchor every late December, you know, having that glow of a Christmas tree, and this music is such an integral part of it, of the experience.
So these festivities and this music takes us back to a childhood and to a happy place.
I believe so, yeah. Even when, you know, I grew up in Czechoslovakia, and even there behind the Iron Curtain, we did hear some of these songs, and I grew up with arrangements of these songs, and for me, it's just, they pull on my heartstrings just as if I was born in this country. I'm really looking forward to sharing this music with our audience.
I want to go further into that story. Tell me about your childhood.
Well, what do you want to know? I feel old saying it, but I grew up in a communist country and experienced the so-called Velvet Revolution at the age of 14, which is the only reason I'm able to be here. You know, that was not even a dream to come to the United States. It was just so
when you say
so forbidden.
Velvet Revolution, Explain that.
Oh, there was a bloodless revolution in 1989 that toppled all these communist regimes in Eastern Europe, and so I experienced that in my formative years. I was 13, and I never will forget that when the entire nation, actually several nations, united and peacefully got rid of these dictatorships, and then we gained freedom and freedom to. Freedom of speech and freedom of travel, and it changed all our lives forever.
And how did music factor into all of that?
Well, music had actually a very exalted role in my upbringing, because it was a very attractive profession. Musicians were one of the chosen few. If you were a professional musician, you had a chance that you could maybe travel west to perform. It was very attractive. And so the competition at music schools was enormous. And then after the revolution, we became westernized, and now, you know, kids go to business schools and study you know, economy or law, and they want to be doctors. But back then, it was this rare opportunity to see the world, you know, so and sort of see countries that you can only dream about.
So you had a love of music early on, and apparently very competitive at it.
Yeah, yes, that's true. It was very competitive, and it was supported. You know, my family supported me, and the whole society, you know, saw artists as you know, the art is very appreciated in that corner of the world. So you don't feel like you know, like it's you know, you never get a question. Oh, that's a nice hobby. What do you do for a living? You know, people understand that this is a vocation, this is something you dedicate your life to, and that it's kind of a spiritual endeavor as well.
Well, you're obviously quite good at it. Now you wear multiple hats. Tell me about them.
I'm so happy that we brought this symphony. You know, this is my 16th season, and the symphony grew enormously in this time. We actually, our budget quadrupled in those years. And now I also lead the Oregon Coast Festival, which is a beautiful week-long festival where musicians from across the country, from professional orchestras, gathered for a week of joyous music making. And I just concluded my 9-year tenure with the Queen Symphony Orchestra in New York City. So I used to travel back and forth between here and there, but now my work is concentrated in Oregon.
You were traveling coast to coast?
Yes.
For how long?
9 years. Yeah. Well, with COVID, put a little stop to it, but
that is amazing. No jet lag.
Oh yeah, jet lag. You're gonna sometimes it's worse, sometimes it's better, but. Yeah, you get up at 3 a.m. and, you know, fly over and do your thing and then come back.
That is amazing.
And it's, you know, it's love of music. We all chase these gorgeous performance opportunities and, you know, experiences with different musicians. It's such a thrill. And it sort of becomes a little bit addictive. So then you're just willing to do all kinds of crazy things.
So with all the travel that you do and with all the work that you do, how do you stay healthy?
I don't know. You know, conductors move a lot. You know, when we're in front of the orchestra, it's very physical. A lot of conductors actually live very long and fruitful lives. So I think it's, and then you're always intellectually stimulated, because there's always new music to learn every week. You're exercising your brain, and then you get in front of the orchestra. Now you're exercising your body. So it's a pretty good, you know, it's stressful, but somehow it balances itself out, I guess.
And what's your favorite kind of music?
Oh my gosh, it changes a lot, I'm very particular to the music that's kind of a bread and butter of my existence, the classical music, you know, of Central Europe, that music I kind of grew up with, the Beethovens and Dvořáks, I'm listening to a lot of jazz, and with this concert, I kind of did a deep dive on all these orchestrators, you know, such as Nelson Riddle and others who were absolute masters, and they you know, work with the Nat King Cole's and Frank Sinatra's of the time, it's the music is of the highest quality, and we need to know it. We need to preserve it and cherish it.
Well, thank you so much for the work that you do in bringing us that music.
Thank you so much, Mike. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you.
My guest was Martin Maikut.